This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God, if we had a fraction of the faith in you that you have in us, this world would be transformed. If we showed a fraction of the love that you show to us, this world would be transformed. If we possessed a fraction of the patience that you display with us, this world would be transformed. If we shared just a portion of the blessings that we have received from you, this world would be transformed. If we showed as much trust in others as you have shown in us, this world would be transformed. If we claim just a fraction of the power you promised to your church, this world would be transformed. So transform us first, Lord, that we might transform this world through your love and your power. Amen. Good morning. Based on the gospel that we have just heard, I have decided that the upcoming Episcopal 101 needs to have a change in the way we advertise it. So the new advertisement will say something like this: we invite you to our Episcopal 101 class to prepare you to become a member of the Episcopal Church and St. Joseph's. Why? Because at St. Joseph's, we teach you how to hate your mother and your father, how to hate your wife or your husband, how to hate your brothers and your sisters. We teach you to hate life itself. And besides that, at St. Joseph's, we ask everybody to give up all their possessions. Any takers? Tough gospel, huh? Tough gospel that we hear today. But to help us to have something we can walk away from and actionable in our lives, we need to look at the language that Jesus would have been speaking in, especially in Luke's gospel. In Aramaic, the word hate is not so much an emotional type of a word as we use it in our day and age. It is more having to do with a deprioritization. Meaning, if we want to understand where our hearts and minds can grasp onto it, if you value any relationship more than your relationship with God, you cannot be my disciple. Now that's something that I can look at in my life and see, am I doing that? To put it simply, if God, Jesus, is not the priority, then they are not a priority at all. And so it becomes important for me to continue to look back at this litmus test of my life to see how is God getting a say in the decisions I make and the things I do and say. We get this great first reading today. Now, I know we've all gone back to school, but it's time for a little test that Deuteronomy gives us, and it's just simple choices. Would you want adversity or prosperity? We're going to be here a while. Adversity or prosperity?
Prosperity.
Woo! I know it's Labor Day. Here's an easier one. Do you want death or life? It's simple, isn't it? Deuteronomy asks us these questions, and he's doing it just like I'm doing it, because the author is trying to get us to see, look, here's the choice, guys. God has given you this choice. You want to be prosperous. You want to have life. You want to be joy-filled and happy. And everybody would say, yeah, I want that. I want that. And then he says, okay, then do what God is telling you to do if you want that. Because if you don't, you won't have it. You will have just the opposite. And so there is this difficult call for us in this gospel that we have to look at our lives and see, well, if I do want life and I do want prosperity, now I got to get on with the living, and it can get quite difficult. Now, I don't think any of us, I hope not anyway, are going to be faced with giving up our lives for the sake of being Jesus' disciple. But there are those, praise God, who have been submitted to that choice and have chosen God. There's only two people in my life that I can say I have a personal relationship with who put their life on the line every day of their lives to be Jesus' disciple. And this stole I wear is intentional today because it was, I think, 9 years ago when Bishop Todd McGregor and Reverend Patsy were here on this Sunday, and Bishop Todd preached on this gospel and then gave to St. Joseph this stole that is from Madagascar. And here are two people who put their lives on the line every day to teach people about the love of Jesus, for which there are factions in Madagascar, as there were in Kenya when they were there, who would very much like to take them out. They put their life on the line. Now, I don't know that we will ever have to face that, but the saints of God from time past and even time today, you know, more people in this century have died because of their belief in Jesus than all of the other centuries combined. That's amazing. We celebrated this past week the Martyrs of New Guinea on September 2nd on our calendar of saints. People that we really don't know too much about, but their story is that they were taking care of people in New Guinea in the South Pacific during World War II, and the Japanese were coming. And a lot of people were running away and hiding and fleeing. And the bishop tells them this: my brothers and sisters, fellow workers, whatever others may do, we cannot leave, we shall not leave, we shall stay by our trust, we shall stand by our vocation. We do not know what it may mean to us. Many already think us fools and mad. What does that matter? If we are fools, we are fools for Christ's sake. I cannot foretell the future. I cannot guarantee it will all be well. I cannot say that we shall all come through unscathed. But one thing only I can guarantee is that if we do not forsake Christ present here in his body in Papua New Guinea, the church, he will not forsake us. He will uphold us. He will sustain us. He will strengthen us. And not one of them left. And the Japanese did come, and they were all killed because of their faith. Now, we're not going to face that, I don't think. But we are going to face some other difficulties. The difficulty for us is the type of white martyrdom, the type of martyrdom that calls us every day to take up the cross to follow Jesus. And that's not such an easy thing. Mother Teresa, who's canonized in Rome today, she was always credited, whether or not she said it, she certainly lived it, with saying, we can't all do great things, but we can all do small things with great love. And the challenge is when we get into our routine and day in and day out existence, we make commitments and then we find out what it means in the routine of life to live that out, and it's hard. It's really hard. I've been reading a lot of C.S. Lewis because I'm getting ready to take this course, and I've been rereading the Screwtape Letters. I don't know if you are familiar with this writing of C.S. Lewis, but it's a great book, very conversational, and it's this. It's written from the perspective of the devil, writing to the devil's representative, who goes by the name of Wormwood, on earth. And the devil is giving Wormwood advice how they can beat their enemy, who is God. How they can tempt the people on earth to continue to do not what God wants, but what the devil would have them do. And it is different letters. And in the very first letter of advice that is written, he talks about this difficulty with once the people become Christians and decide in any way, shape, or form a decision about what they're going to do in their lives, right after that is the time you attack. Because when they start to try to do it and they realize the difficulty in it, this is when you can get them. This is what he writes. Work hard on the disappointment or anticlimax, which is certainly coming to the patient during his first few weeks as a churchman, Christian. The enemy, God, allows this disappointment to occur on the threshold of every human endeavor. It occurs even when a boy who has been enchanted in the nursery by stories from the Odyssey buckles down to really learning Greek. It occurs when lovers have got married and begin the real task of learning to live together. In every department of life, it marks the transition from dreaming aspiration to laborious doing. The enemy God takes this risk because he has a curious fantasy of making all these disgusting little human vermin into what he calls his free lovers and servants. Sons is the word he uses. With his inveterate love of degrading the whole spiritual world by unnatural liaisons with the two-legged animals. Moving from dreaming aspiration to laborious doing. This is where this gospel becomes the call to us. Now there's an image that I go back to a lot these days that helps me with this in my own life. If you've ever been to a symphony or a concert, everybody gathers, and then the orchestra leader comes in, the conductor, and then he usually points to whoever it is, I think it's usually the oboe, to play an A. And that musician plays the note, and then all the other musicians have to try to tune their instrument to that note. Ever experienced this or see this? And there is those few moments where if you didn't know that they were just tuning, you think, oh my God, they're horrible. Because the notes are all over the map. But gradually they come together, and then there is this one harmonious, beautiful A. Today, Jesus is playing an A. Today, Jesus is saying, here's the note. Here's the way you have to align your life if we're going to make beautiful music together. The challenge becomes for us, we can get that note and we make that decision, but then we go out and as C.S. Lewis talks about it in this letter, there's this cacophony of life around us that is telling us all these other things. And my friends, that cacophony abounds right now on the television. And it doesn't matter to me which political leanings you have, but it's a cacophony that sometimes we just need to tune out and to live what Jesus is calling us to do. This past week, we had some incredible other examples of people who have done that. We celebrated the feast day of Prudence Crandall. Probably never heard her name. She's from Connecticut. She lived in the early 1800s. She opened a school for girls, and she did the unthinkable. There was a black girl who came to apply into the school, and she took her in. And you know what? She was totally rejected. the story of her life, that at one point she's even thrown in jail because she had the audacity to treat all people with human dignity. Now, it took a long time, but now she's on the calendar of our saints. We celebrated a week ago Saturday the feast of Saint Aidan, one of the great Celtic saints that we always celebrate in our church. You talk about somebody that had to learn about the difficulty of living out what you've committed to. Remember his story. The head of the church sends missionaries out to the people of what's now northern England, a place called Northumbria. And Coleman is the lead monk who's supposed to go out there. And he comes back and he says, "Oh, forget it. They're savages. They won't listen to anything I tell them. And it's just useless. You'll never convert these people. They will never come to the love of Jesus." And Aidan is sitting there in the meeting room with the monks thinking, well, maybe if you'd been a little bit nicer and gentler and at least listened to them, maybe you'd have had a different outcome. And he has the nerve to speak up and say just that. Well, guess what happens? All the monks turn to Aidan. And what do you think they say? Well, you think you can do a better job. Why don't you go over there to those savages and see what you can do? And so he goes. And Aidan goes. And he listens to them. And he's gentle with them. And he loves them. And guess what happens? Northumbria becomes Christian. And Christianity spreads throughout that region of Scotland and England as a result of Aidan. Now, that was difficult. That was picking up the cross daily. There are so many ways in our life that God calls us to do that. Look at the second reading we heard today. It's the book of Philemon. And by the way, it's the shortest book in the Bible. What you heard today just lacks the last four lines. So go home today and pick up the last four verses of Philemon and read it. And you can tell all your friends that what you do on Labor Day weekend, I read a whole book of the Bible. It's a great story because it tells of Paul coming to an understanding that this Onesimus, a slave, needed to be treated as a human being. So he writes to Philemon, and Onesimus has done something. We're not exactly sure what, if he stole some money or ran away or what, but Paul is pleading with Philemon, treat him as your brother. He's not just a slave, he's a human being. There are so many ways in our lives right now where God is calling us and enabling us to be the bright light, to respect the dignity of every human being. May we have the grace and the strength to listen for that note that Jesus intones and then to tune in our life to play beautiful music together. Amen.